You're with SBS Radio.
My daughter, who was working in the Logan City area at the time in 2015, the Logan City Council had got a grant to do some short stories on the Indigenous people who participated in World War One for families, you know, like to participate in that, to talk about their families. And anyway, they approached my daughter and she said, well, I've got two. She said, my father had one, but they found that uncle. But my mother's got one, but we can only go so far to finding out information about him.
And was it easier to find him because he'd had to change his name, like many?
No, it was very difficult to find him because, I mean, when the whole story was they forcibly removed my mum and her family, amongst other families, from the Burdekin River area down to Cherbourg, which is now Cherbourg. And yeah, they left behind five brothers. Valentine was one of them.
Why do you think he had to change his name, or was it a name change by the authorities?
Well, first of all, he was too young, of course, like as many of them were, too young to enlist. His name at the time was Valentine Ayres, A-Y-R-E-S.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to H-A-R-E.
Yeah.
And then they actually even misspelled Valentine as well. So we couldn't find him at all. And then we finally got some information, but we could only go so far. But then when the Logan City Council did the research into, or not research, when they did the documentaries on the Indigenous soldiers or Indigenous servicemen and women, they asked my daughter and she said, well, I'll ask my mum. And I said, yes. I said, you know, if they can help us, that's very good. So through their contacts, the research lady there, she actually got into his medical records, and that's the way we found him.
Correct. Because your mum had last heard about him only in 1918.
They'd only seen him for a couple of weeks, you see, because he actually, when he returned from Egypt, he was actually on a ship with a couple of other servicemen from Cherbourg, from Baramba,
Yeah.
So they were called the boys from Baramba. So he actually went back to Baramba with them and met up with his mum and then his siblings there as well, which one of them was my mum.
Can you share with us what you and your family, what else you knew about Valentine?
Well, the only thing we knew, like according to my mum, because my mum always talked about, you know, being removed from up north, and I actually moved to Townsville in 1977.
Yeah.
Actually, that same year I found out in 2015 that was the year that he died in Cairns in 1977. And I went back to Townsville to try to reconnect with the rest of whatever family members were remaining up there. None of the family knew where he was. Because of the change of his name, nobody knew where he was.
And is there an explanation why he disappeared?
He came back from Egypt, went to Baramba, and they only allowed him to stay at Baramba for 2 weeks because he didn't actually reside then. They said that he had to move on because it was a government community, and he didn't reside there. They said he had to move on. So he went back up north to his other brother up in Yarrabah, which is outside of Cairns.
That's up far north Queensland.
Yes, and he went back to Yarrabah, and then he couldn't stay there as well. So then he went back to Cairns and sort of stayed around Cairns area.
Yeah. And have you been able to connect with anyone in Yarrabah who may have been in contact with him?
No, because he left there at a very early age.
Yeah.
We went back there. My sisters and I went back there and tried to get some information. This is before we discovered this in 2015. We went back there to get some information, but there was nothing there. We could, and again, it was because of the change of his name.
Yeah.
And anyway, we did a documentary on it. And like I said, I was, because they actually presented me with the documents as they were filming.
Yeah.
And I was very, very surprised. I mean, I was ecstatic, but I was very, very surprised that they'd got so much information.
Now, the documents are in your possession.
Well, it's on. It was online anyway, so yeah.
Yeah.
But anyhow, getting back to the original story, my daughter said they contacted me, and I said yes, they could go ahead and see what they can find out about him if they can.
Yeah.
And the research officer at Logan City Library at the time was able to get into his medical records and found out that he lived in the Cairns area, then went to Sydney and then came back to Cairns and died in Cairns in 1977.
Yeah.
So after that, I contacted the Veterans Affairs and asked, could I have his, because there was no marking on his where he was laid to rest. But he was actually put in a cemetery up there, where there's a lot of other returned servicemen and women.
Yeah.
So I wrote to Veterans Affairs, and 12 months later, they said that I could have a plaque to put where his remains are, and they sent up this plaque, and I got it where it's sitting there now in the cemetery.
So he's now, you can...
So now we go and visit, yes.
You can go and visit and pay tribute to his memory. And
But the documents that they showed me, and they showed his enlistment records and things like that, and I was just blown away because his handwriting was exactly the same as my mother's handwriting.
Wow. How did you feel seeing that?
When I saw it, I couldn't talk for a while. And they said, "Is everything all right?" I said, "This has got to be him." Because his handwriting is exactly the same as my mother's, and the family resemblance in the one photo that we got, and the one photo, the war memorial didn't have any photographs of him. So the lady from the research lady from Logan City. Contacted the library in Brisbane, the state library in Brisbane, and apparently the state government of Queensland and probably every other state government took photographs of men as they enlisted.
That's how you have the record and the photograph.
And that's the only one photograph we have of him.
Wow.
And he was very, very young.
I can imagine. Yeah. How young would have he been when he left?
Probably about 16 or 17.
Still a child.
Yeah. He wouldn't. I don't. He wasn't 20. He wasn't 20, of course. But they put their ages up, like most of them did in those days. You know.
Yeah. Fighting for country. They felt they were fighting for country. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I'm very, very pleased now. And then they actually did a little booklet for the families. You know, because there was four. There was two brothers, my uncle and another guy that the Logan City Council did the documentaries on. Oh. And they did a series of booklets for each one.
Yeah, no, we'll check that out.
Now, the family is very excited now. Well, we have been for the last 5 years because now we can go and visit whenever we get. And my brother lives in Cairns and he goes out to the cemetery there, and we can just walk in and know where he's laid to rest now.
Yeah, at least some form of closure.
Like I said, you know, I went to the wrong city in 1977. I went to Townsville instead of Cairns. But anyhow, I found the other rest of the family, like the descendants of the other brothers that they left behind.
Yeah.
But he was the only one that we didn't have anything on. And he didn't, apparently, according to the medical records, he did not have his own family. Like, he was like a bachelor all his life sort of thing.
Yeah. I think I can imagine what he went through in war and coming back, creating his own family.
Because he came back wounded, you see. That's the reason he came back early.
A lot of young men come back damaged physically and mentally, actually.
So he wasn't able to do a lot of, really heavy work. So he was wounded, but then he did get jobs.
Yeah.
And he actually went to Sydney and was a salesman for a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we were very pleased. We had a presentation night at the Logan City Library there, and it was very well attended and very good. And like I said, I ended up getting the plaque to put on his resting place, and now we know where he is.
Yeah, and can celebrate his legacy every...
And like you said, you know, like to me before, I had nothing to do with Anzac Day.
Yeah.
But now Anzac Day every year means something to my family. And we can identify with it now. We didn't identify with it before.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary story.
But like I said, I've been looking for him for over 40 years because my mum kept talking about him. And she lived with me until she passed on. And I said, look, I've got to go back to Townsville to try to find out the rest, where the other families are.
Yeah.
And like I said, unfortunately, I went to the wrong city. But anyhow, I know now where he's laying in rest.
Perseverance paid finally.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't give up.
No, definitely. That's an example, actually, for everyone not to give up on in circumstances like these. You never know.
And now Cherbourg has a history museum there, and they've got, like, the boys from Baramba, and he's also included in that, because he was in the Light Horse Brigade, you see?
Yeah.
And they had their own Light Horse Brigade, but he wasn't in their Light Horse Brigade. He was in the 2nd Light Horse Brigade. But they've accepted him as part of that group.
Yeah, and they went through a hell of a hard time, if you read, for those who don't know, they should read the Light Horse Brigade. Sounds like it's a very heroic brigade. They went through a lot of hardship on the battlefield.
Well, I mean, they were there in the desert, you know what I mean? They were sort of, riding horses in the desert, and because they were such good horsemen, that's the reason they got into the Light Horse Brigade.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, the climate was completely different to where they came from.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, for him coming from North Queensland, tropical North Queensland, to go to the desert.
Wow.
You know?
You go from tropical vegetation to something completely different with sand dunes and all that. What a shock.
So the whole thing was a new experience for a lot of them, you know what I mean? Yeah, they went from one extreme to the other, like climate-wise and things like that, and vegetation-wise and, everything.
But anyway,
a lot of them survived, and I suppose in a way we can say that at least he was only wounded, but he came back to Australia.
And he's got a final resting place.
And where we know where he is now. And he came back and he connected with the family back in Cherbourg.
Yeah.
Back in 1918 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he got back to meet his mum and his brothers and sisters there in Cherbourg as well. So that was a good thing.
Extraordinary story. Auntie Iris, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much for including me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.